Amen. God is able. Those three words have been in my head since what night was it? Wake up in the morning and I hear these words, God is able. Getting dressed, I hear these words, God is able. Go out the door, God is able. And all through the day, my thoughts are, He is able. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, tonight to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'd like to speak to you tonight on some things that Jesus left the church. I don't know if you have a will or not. It's probably a good idea in these days to have something down in writing so there's no misunderstandings about, you know, what's to happen when you leave this world. Jesus, when he left this world, he did take some things with him, but he did leave some wonderful things behind for us, some great valuable things. And as I said, it is important to have a will, give it some thought as to make it easier on the family. I've known some people to even pick out their favorite hymns that they wanted sung at the funeral. When I first heard that for the first time, I thought, that's a little eerie. But you know, the more I think about it, the more warmed up to the idea I am that we should really put some thought and effort into it. I knew a fellow once that also told his daughters which suit he wanted wore. That is getting on that side that he wanted the hymns, he wanted the clothing, he wanted everything just so. And it reminded me of a pastor who was on a plane and he was sitting next to a businessman, and they were talking, and they introduced each other. He said, I'm a pastor, and after a few minutes, he started to change the subject, and he said, sir, I want to ask you a question. Do you know where you're going when you die? And he says, yes, Oklahoma. Well, they had a good laugh, and then he started to explain to him that, no, he meant, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? And so he had the opportunity to share the gospel story with the gentleman. But I knew a man in Buffalo who had a will, and in the will he said, I only want a one-day viewing. And I tried to get him to change his mind in discussion. We talked. I knew him about 15 years before he passed away, and I said, you know, that's pretty unreasonable, Joe. I mean, one day? What if somebody doesn't hear about it for a day or two or a couple days? He says, no. He says, if they don't care enough to hear about it and come to my funeral, I don't want them. And he put it in writing. He thought it was pretty smart. Nobody hardly showed up for his funeral because when he passed away, it was sudden, and the word really didn't filter out very much. And so poor Brother Joe, he had a very small funeral. And but good guy, Brother Joe Blazak, in heaven now. Born and raised Roman Catholic. And came to the Lord late in life. He was 44 years old when he trusted the Lord as his Savior. And if you know anything about percentages, that's a pretty a narrow margin to wait till you're 44 to come to the Lord Jesus as Savior. Very few people have that opportunity. But in any event, that's what it was in his will. And of course, it's some people have asked me in the past, should I remember my church and my will? Well, I think if you're going to a church that's important to you and you trust the church for the furtherance of the gospel, it's not an unusual thing for people after they've made consideration for their family to also remember their church. And some people, they don't have any other family. The church is the only family they have. I think that is a reasonable thing for them to do. But I'd like us to look at some things that Jesus left us in Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. And as we look into the scriptures tonight, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open thy eternal word. We ask you, Lord, to give us hearing ears tonight to what the Spirit says to our church. And that you'd encourage us as we go into this brand new week in the spirit of revival and drawing closer to you, Father. Help us to be useful this week. Help us to be filled with your spirit. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. I might add right there, we had two people after the morning service said to me they wanted to be baptized. And as two people, I had no idea, because they've been coming for so long, I didn't know that they were never baptized. And so the Lord willing, Wilson will be baptizing a mother and a son. And I'll let them tell you more about it Sunday. I don't want to take away all of the surprises. But notice verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have been there with Jesus' last words, and then a cloud receives him in their sight, and he's going up, just like that. And then the announcement that this same Jesus that you saw, that you observed, that you looked at going up into heaven, that's the same one that's going to come back one day. The Jesus of the Bible. Amen? The Jesus of the Bible is going to come back one day. Well, what did Jesus leave behind? I'd like to share with you just a few things that he has left the church. First of all, he left a work that is unfinished. And the Bible tells us in verse number 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Did you catch that? He began it. He has left work undone that he has planned for his followers to do. So Jesus began a great work. He has a great work yet unfinished. And that work, of course, includes seeking the lost. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he sent us his Holy Spirit so that he can live inside of us. And he could do his work in and through us. Aren't you glad he touched your life? It's amazing to me. 2,000 years have gone by, and yet Jesus can touch our lives through other people. And that's the miracle of salvation. And so there's a great work yet to do in verse number 14. Notice the Bible says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Prayer. A lot of prayer took place at the beginning of this church age. And you know, at the end of the church age, I think it's a pretty good thing too. More prayer. More prayer, more power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, what? There's got to be some prayer in our homes, folks, if we want God's power in our family. If we want God's power to work in our children and our grandchildren. If we want God's power to work on our husbands and our wives, there's got to be prayer. Amen. Much prayer during these days. Well, we are to bring, the Bible tells us, that we are to take Christ to the world. We're not responsible for their decision. We cannot bring the world to Christ, but we can bring Christ to the world. And there is a big difference. Bringing Christ to the world is the challenge of each day. Brother Derek is now out there with the worldly crowd, He's away from that Christian setting, and he's got his work cut out for him, that's for sure. But we all go into the world, don't we, every week? And there are people there that God wants us to bring the good news to. And it also means this unfinished work, that it means spending our means in getting out the gospel. I'm glad I go to a church that I know that the tithes and offerings are going to be used for God's glory. I'm glad I go to a church where actually money that's put down for missions goes to missions. I love the first of the month. Amen. We're getting close to the first of the month, Henry. Those mission checks are getting ready to go all over the world. They're going to go all over. All the missionaries that we support and encourage, and we get back their mail, and we have entered into their ministry as we pray for them and as we give to their work. All the souls that they touch, we have a part in. And so, yes, the work is unfinished. And by spending our means and getting out the gospel, spending our time, aren't you glad that nothing that's done for Christ is in vain? We use our time for the Lord, whatever it is, He's keeping an account of it. Amen? Matters not what we do. We do it for the Lord. We're doing it for His church. Whatever it is, He is putting it down. And we need to spend our time for the Lord and our energy and our money in sending out. Also sending out missionaries. Do you know a Bible-believing church, if it is a true Bible-believing church, at some point in time, people are going to leave that church being missionaries. Some of them are actually going to say, Mom and Dad, God is calling me, believe it or not, to be a missionary or to be an evangelist or to be a pastor. Where else are they going to come from? I don't expect God to call any out of the Episcopal church, do you? He's going to call them out of Bible-believing churches. How would you feel if God called one of your sons in that fashion, or one of your daughters maybe, to marry a preacher or to be a missionary herself? That might change our prayer life a little bit, wouldn't it? Say, oh Lord, I really want you to use my family, but do I really want you to use them in that fashion? I think of a family now who their daughter went on a summer teen missions trip a few years ago. And she really didn't want to go. It was a youth group thing, and she said she would, and the money was there, and she went. She came back changed. She came back literally changed. She went to a third world country. Second year, she was looking forward to going. Third year, she couldn't wait for summer to come. She told her parents recently, God's calling me to be a missionary. Here's a girl, 17 years old. She knows what God wants in her life. And all I can say is thank God. It's an honor and a privilege. Yes, they'll miss her, but you know, those parents, their prayer life's going to improve greatly. Can you imagine the challenges that this young lady has before her? But we have a work that's unfinished. And the Bible says of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Yes, pastors get called out of churches. Missionaries get called out of churches. These evangelists came from churches somewhere. They came from Bible-believing churches. And God's working in our life. He will call some people, that's for sure. The second thing Jesus left behind, He left not only a work unfinished, but He left a message that is unchallenged. The Bible says, by many infallible proofs. Verse number 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine what it was like those 40 days after the resurrection that Christ was appearing here and appearing there and speaking about the things of God? How wonderful that must have been to have seen Christ after the resurrection. He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs and eyewitnesses. He also left behind as a legacy all the miracles that He's performed for us to read about. Well, aren't you glad the miracles still continue even in our day? Every one of us this evening that knows Christ our Savior, we are a walking miracle because He has changed us. He has written our names in heaven. And so He's left behind a message that is unchallenged. All the miracles in the Bible that we can read about. He left behind all the eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And the unchallenged message is that Jesus is God. He is God Almighty. Not even the angels can explain this power. But God has given the privilege to you and I to talk to people about God's marvelous power, God's miraculous power to change lives. And that's the power of the gospel. We don't know how it works. We only know that when we share it, God works in people's hearts. And so the message that Jesus is God and the fact that the stone was rolled away, I like what Brother Azusa said about the stone was rolled away, not so Christ could get out, but so that the disciples could go in and see that it was empty. Amen? And they went in there and in the tomb where Jesus lay, and everything was neat and tidy, and the napkin that was on him was folded. I love to tell teenagers that story of the resurrection. Before he showed himself alive to the world, he cleaned his room. You say, oh, Mom, Dad, I got a busy, important schedule, and I'll do it later. What's more important than showing yourself alive on the first Easter Sunday morning? Amen? And before history was recorded it, he cleaned his room, young men and ladies. Amen? All right. I'm trying to help you, parents. Help me out here. Amen? All right. But he did leave behind a message that is unchallenged, the great message that Jesus saves. I love those hymns. We have heard the joyful sound. I'm glad I heard it. I'm glad that I was listening. I'm glad that God got my attention and I heard it. You know when I heard it? When all the world around me was crashing in. That's the time to listen. If you're in trouble, that's a good time to listen. But I'm glad that the message still goes out. Jesus also left behind not only an unfinished work, not only a message that is unchallenged, he's also left behind unlimited power. Amen? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses. Power. Power is the standard that we really needed in our church. Born-again people need power. Sunday school teachers need power. Parents need power. Moms and dads need power. The power of God. Fellas, when you shave in the morning, you should be praying for power. Every morning, if that little habit got a hold of you, every morning, God, give me power. I need power. But be careful when you're shaving. You might cut yourself. Amen. You might get carried away. When you're doing your chores, ladies, or whatever it is that you do during the week, praying for power. Grandmas need power. Grandfathers need power. We need to pray for power. And God said he promised to give us power as we pray. And we need it today as never before. We need power to speak boldly for the Lord, to speak to others about the Lord. And if need be, maybe even suffer for his name's sake. Sometimes we get a little persecution, but sometimes that comes with the territory. But it doesn't mean God's not working on those people. If they're mean, if they're mean spirit, doesn't mean that God is not working on them. But God has left behind unlimited power. Power to turn off telephones. He's also left behind a testimony. Let me ask you tonight, what's your testimony that you're leaving behind? People watch us. Every day we're writing a page in our book of testimony. It takes a long time to build a good testimony. You know, it takes a very short time to ruin your Christian testimony. And that is the important tool that God uses for you to be a witness to others. Yes, an unshakable testimony. Jesus left behind his testimony. What a testimony he left. Amen. The sure word of prophecy. God has left behind promises in the Bible, things that will come to pass. All the history that is predicted to come will happen just as Jesus said, regardless of the media. the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. As much as they say to the world, don't speak about Jesus, don't talk about Jesus, we want to push Jesus out of the minds of people, it's not going to change one little part of Bible prophecy, because he's going to come back one day on time. I'd like you to look at Matthew 5:18 for a moment. Matthew 5:18. And I'm looking forward to our fellowship tonight. I hope you can stay. Those aromas are slowly making their way up those stairs. Amen? I smell apple pie. I'm sorry. I really do. And it's hard for me to continue. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. Did you find it? All right, read it out loud with me. For verily say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Amen. Till all be fulfilled. Amen. Every jot, every tittle, every dotted I, every cross T, everything that God said that's going to happen will happen. Yes, he's left behind an unshakable testimony. He's left behind his word. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Our Bible is a double-bladed instrument. Amen? It's sharp. It cuts. Amen? Did you ever get a bad paper cut? Isn't it annoying and painful? I'm talking about, I'll probably get one soon. Oh, what, you would think that a little cut like that wouldn't hurt so much. Oh, how it hurts. And yet the Bible is a two-edged sword. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. It cuts deep when God operates on us. Sometimes it's painful, isn't it? Amen? I'm thinking of Brother Seuss in one of his messages. He's like, he had the church out on the scaffold. And he was like cutting and digging. I thought, oh my, this is serious. But he was able to patch us up. He was able to sew us up and get us out into the recovery room and on our way rejoicing. But the Word of God is sharp as a two-edged sword, and God has left behind the Word of God for us to feed ourselves with. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it cuts. Sometimes it goes against the grain. But thank God it does. Thank God it does. It goes against our nature. It rubs against us. It reprimands us before it can bless us. But thank God it's sufficient for every need that the child of God has. Whatever need the Christian has, he can go to the Bible and find the remedy. Amen? It's like going to the medicine cabinet. I hope you don't have one like me. I've got like three or four medicine cabinets at home, and they're full. Oh, they're so full. Sometimes they're so full, I'm afraid to open the door because the Band-Aids will fall out, or this will fall out, or that will fall out. It's almost like we've got our own drug store, you know, pharmacy. Got so much stuff in there from taking care of my father and my mother and now my mother-in-law, and plus, you know, family things. It's just stock full of things. But isn't it good to know that you can read a label? And when you read the label, you get exactly what you need for what ails you. If I cut my hand, Tony, with a circular saw, I can go to the medicine twice. Two fingers. The ouch is right. But I can go to my medicine cabinet and I can get what I need. I'm not going to put on eye drops on a hand that's profusely bleeding. Amen? But whatever our problems in life are, we go to the Bible. God has the cure. He has the remedy. And thank God for the Bible. Yes, he's left behind a sure word of prophecy that will help us in our time of need. Lastly, he left behind his unfailing promise. Like General MacArthur, I will come again. 2,000 years have gone by since the disciples gathered on that hill and they watched the cloud take him up slowly out of their sight. Over 2,000 years have gone by since those angels said to the disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. That'd be a nice time for the rapture as I'm telling about it. I hope I'm doing something spiritual when he comes. I really do. I want to. Don't you? Amen? Reading your Bible or witnessing or praying or going to church or something with your mind on the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? There's a way for that to happen. Have lots of conversations with God during the day, because he's always with us. Keep talking. Amen? You say, Pastor, I'm a talkative person, but no one ever likes to listen. He'll listen. You just keep talking to him. People will think that you're on the telephone anyway. Yes, he's left behind the promise that he's going to come back. He's going to come back to judge the world, and he's going to come back to reward the Christian. And it's going to come. One of these days, he's going to snatch away the bride. And the church is the bride of Christ. We are going through what is called the engagement period. Did you know that? Before a wedding, there's an engagement. Well, what's an engagement for? That's when you vow to somebody and you get to know one another. We're getting to know him. I've been getting to know him for over 30 years. Amen? And the Bible is still fresh and new. That's the miracle of it to me, how God's word can still have power for every day. Well, he's coming to snatch away the bride. Remember this song? Some of you are old enough to know this song, Getting to Know You. Getting to know all about you. Da 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 da. All right. I don't know where that's from. I'll ask John later what program that's from. Later. We'll discuss it. It's probably from the 50s or the 60s. But it has to do with engagement, I think. But until he returns, the Bible says that you and I are pilgrims down here. We're just traveling through a short time. I can't believe how quickly life goes by. I really don't. In my heart, I'm a young man. In the mirror, I am what I am. I'm getting older. I'm not going to tell you how much older. It's scary. What's really scary is my older sister. Boy, she's really scaring me because she's getting close to 60. That's frightening to me, a young man as I am. But life goes by quickly, and we're pilgrims down here. There's a song we should have sang tonight. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain, no sorrow will enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. You forgive me tonight, you younger crowd. I get a little homesick for heaven. Say, Pastor, that's good for you. I'm young. I'm going to be down here a long time. You don't know that. You don't know that. I remember one lady left our church service years ago, sat down on the wall in the front. That was the last day she lived. We don't know how much time we have. We really don't. Every day is a gift that God gives us. We'd like to think we'll get older. We don't know. I've had good friends that died in their youth. I think of a fella that lived in our block on Hill Street, died of a heart attack in his 20s. We played in the woods together. Matter of fact, I was friends with him for one summer. We were very close, but I think it was because he liked my sister. I think that's why he wanted to get to know me better. He's older. And he was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. And one Saturday he said, Steve, come with me. You want to come to church with me? I said, well, all right. He says, oh, I gotta serve today. You want to serve with me? I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, be an acolyte. A what? Acolyte. I said, oh, no, I wouldn't know anything about it. He said, just follow me, do what I do. You know what he did? He actually got me in the church, put the robe on me. Nobody knew the difference. I walked in there like I was a member, and I did everything he did. I had no idea what was going on. That's scary. Amen. I mean, our church isn't that big, and that church wasn't that big either, but to pull off something like that as an 11-year-old kid was pretty fantastic. But Richie died suddenly of a heart attack. He was a successful businessman. He was a millionaire. But he didn't live long. We don't know. But you know what? In the end, we all end up with the same amount of time, eternity. So it all evens out. Even if a child passes away, they still are a living soul. They have an eternal soul. Amen? Our first child is in heaven. I believe at birth. I believe in life at conception. Don't you? We've got one waiting. I don't know anything about it. It's going to be a wonderful surprise one day, isn't it? Oh, we've got a lot to look forward to, that's for sure. But his unfailing promise that he's going to come back again. Until then, we are just pilgrims. I say this often, don't plant your roots too deep down here. There's disappointments down here. Amen? I mean, you can lose it all overnight. That new car, I mean, one sip of coffee and it's not new anymore. In New Jersey, anything can happen. Amen? That house could go up. Life is that way, up and down. Jesus said, don't put too much stock in stuff down here. Thieves steal stuff. Things break down. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen? Because that's where no one can take it. Well, yes, he's left behind his promise. He's going to come back one day. I also like something Brother Sousa said about getting involved in church. Remember the story about the boy that kept falling out of bed? How cute was that? How true that is, too. A lot of children have that problem. They don't get all the way in the bed, and they end up falling out of bed every night. And how true that is about church and being busy for God. So many believers don't get all the way in the church. They never really get involved, and they keep falling out, falling out, falling out. Oh, listen. Get all the way in. Amen? Say, well, how in should I get? Man, till everybody knows your name. Amen? Get busy for God. Lose your life and you'll find it. You'll not find life by trying to find it. You'll not find love by trying to find it. You'll not find anything by looking for it, but you will find everything you need by putting Jesus first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things will be added unto you. Amen. That's a good place to close tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the good things that you left behind before you went away. And we thank you for the promise you're going to come again one day, perhaps soon, we don't know. But help us to be ready and help us, Lord, tonight to keep the revival going in our hearts. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wouldn't close the service tonight without a word of invitation to anyone here tonight that's never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Tonight you can open the door to your heart, invite him to come in, to be the Lord of your life, to be the closest friend you've ever had. And you can do that tonight by faith. Reach out to him because he's reaching out to you. And maybe your life is not going well. Maybe it's not going the right way. Ask him tonight to take control of your life. Right now, ask the Lord to come in and take control. I'd say, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to trust you tonight. I'm going to ask you to take the reins of my life and help me, Lord. As I seek your face, I want to please you. And Father, we commit this time to you now in prayer. Bless our fellowship and bless our time together. We pray the follows in Jesus' name. Amen.